All right, welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Well, this is episode 115. Some news, of course, the Midnight Freemasons. As usual, we have some new things coming, including our Midnight Freemasons Instagram feed. We moved all of our photos from the traditional page to an Instagram feed on Midnight Freemasons, and we have Brother Bill Hosler managing our Instagram feed. So you can follow us at the Midnight Freemasons on Instagram, or you can just check us out on our webpage, midnightfreemason.blogspot.com. Click photos and you can check them all out there. You can share them with your friends, whatever you guys want to do. Also, I'd like to give a little congrats to Brother Brian Shimian on your new job. I can't really disclose too much to anybody out there. I mean, it's a public thing, but Brother Shimian got a brand new job. Very cool, working within the community again. As some of you know, he used to be a firefighter, and he had to retire due to an injury he sustained on the job. But this new job has gave him a new lease on his ability to really work with the community. Not in the same capacity that he used to, but in a new one. And I think he's going to do really well. So congrats to you, brother. Also, congrats to Brother Steve Harrison for your soon-to-be title. And I'll let you announce that when you're ready. Also, speaking of Bill Hosler and Steve Harrison, I gotta say thank you for the donations that you guys gave to the show just a few weeks ago. It means a lot. It helps us out incredibly. Brother Rob Lewis is back, and it's been about a month or two, but now he's back. He's got an internet connection over in Afghanistan that allows him to upload at decent speeds. And like I said, he's over in Afghanistan representing the United States and Freemasons. And yes, I'm still contributing to his show with the famous Freemason segment. So if you get a minute, I think he's released 2 episodes in the last 2 weeks. So he's back, and he's back with force. Welcome back, Brother Rob. Hope you are doing well, and I'll talk to you soon, brother. Speaking of podcasts, we cannot forget about Brother Juan Sepulveda. His podcast, The Winding Stairs. Such a great show. In fact, he had his first interview, and I mentioned it a week or two ago, and his interview is amazing. He talked with a brother of his lodge who lost his eyesight completely in a car accident, and I'm not going to give away too much, but you guys just go download the episode. It's not real long. It's not one of these 3-hour interviews, so I think you guys will really enjoy it. Brother Juan also just released his new book, which is called A Masonic Research Guide, and it's a great guide for the new Master Mason. I say Master Mason because there are things in that book which could potentially spoil some aspects of Freemasonry for the Entered Apprentice or the Fellowcraft. Now, there's nothing per se in the actual book. The book is a resource guide. It gives you legitimate places to find information on Freemasonry that is verifiable by other Freemasons. So there are countless links out there that you guys can go. You can check all these conspiracy websites and stuff and things, but really this resource guide is incredible. You can trust the things in there. Of course, we are listed in there. The Midnight Freemasons is in there. The Winding Stairs is in there. Chris Hodapp's books are in there. Todd Creason's books are in there. Just really good stuff. So if you want to get a copy of that, you're going to head on over to Brother Juan's website, Masonic Fundraiser, and you put in your email address, and that's it. You get to download that book for free. You will also get updates from the Winding Stairs podcast and Masonic Fundraiser. So please check those out. Speaking of books, I've taken a little break on the book that Johnny and I are writing. I'm doing a bunch of research to finish it. It is a laborious task. I've had to write a little bit and then take 10 steps back and look at it, but we're working on it. I've had some brothers recently ask if I do lectures for lodges, and the answer is yes, I do, but it depends on the travel. As you guys all know, I still work 40 hours a week at a regular job, so it really does depend on if I can get the time off to do it. I work nights primarily, not overnights, but evening shifts. So it makes it difficult a lot of the time, but if I have enough notice, I can usually make it happen. So if that is something that you're interested in, shoot me an email at wcypodcast@gmail.com. Now, there are 2 things I did want to mention. The first is a good friend and now a brother. When this guy first started following the show, he wasn't a brother yet. And if you're listening, brother, I know you are, you're probably like, is he going to say my name? Yeah, Brother Walk. You have been following the show for quite a long time, anxiously awaiting to become a Freemason. Everybody listening out there, Brother Walk has even started a blog about his journey, his pre-thoughts before becoming a Freemason, and he just recently became an Entered Apprentice. And I believe he became an Entered Apprentice with two other gentlemen. So congratulations, Brother Walk. I'm really excited to be able to call you a brother now. You've been asking about the fraternity forever. You've been an avid listener, a fan. You've been active on the blog page. You've been active on the Facebook page. Brother Walk, to give everybody an idea, actually would send me private messages asking if it was cool to read a certain article to make sure that it didn't give anything away, because he didn't want to ruin any experiences he might have had in his initiation. And of course, everything we cover on the show and everything that's out on the blog is usually perfectly fine for somebody who is uninitiated to hear, see, or read. If there's any questionable content, I usually amend it or delete it or change it. So once again, Brother Walk, congratulations on your preferment of your Entered Apprentice, and you're only going to find further light as your degrees go on. The second thing that I did want to mention is that I got an amazing email from a brother who has had a tragic life story up to this point. He became a Mason raised in 2013, so this year. I'm not going to give away his name or anything, but I do want you to know, if you're listening, I got your email, and it was very touching, it was emotional, and it means so much to me that you felt okay to share that kind of thing with me. I'd be lying if I didn't say I didn't get a little choked up when I was reading the email. Nothing makes me more proud and more happy to know that the fraternity has brought some good into your lives. And when you share those kind of things with me, it makes my life brighter also. So thank you very much. I'd like to go right into the piece for this week. And this week's piece is called Time, from Chapter 27 of Foreign Countries by Brother Carl H. Claudy, a delightful and inspiring study of Masonic symbolism, written for and published by the Masonic Services Association of the United States. One of the hidden or covered symbols of Freemasonry is found in the many references to time. The Entered Apprentice is given a 24-inch gauge as his working tool and with it taught to divide his time. The Entered Apprentice must wait a certain time before taking his Fellowcraft degree. The Fellowcraft is reminded of the time required for creation, and the function of geometry as to time is emphasized. By it also, the astronomer is enabled to make his observations and fix the duration of times and seasons, years and cycles. He is also made to realize that there are three principal causes which contribute to destruction: the hand of ignorance, the devastations of war, and the lapse of time. The Fellowcraft must wait a period of time before he may receive his Master Mason degree. As a Master Mason, he is reminded of the passage of time in the reading from Ecclesiastes. Emphasis is put upon the journey from the days of thy youth to that hour when shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. In the prayer use in the sublime degree, we hear, man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not, seeing his days are determined. The number of his months is with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish his day. Master Masons are taught from the scriptures of the length of time required to construct the Temple of Solomon, the three steps of the Master's carpet are youth, manhood, and old age, of which, as we have seen, the 3 degrees as a whole are symbols. The hourglass, an instrument used for the measurement of time, is one of the symbols discussed in the lecture of the sublime degree. The scythe is an emblem of time, which cuts the brittle thread of life and launches us into eternity. Behold, what havoc the scythe of time makes among the human race. If by chance we should escape the numerous evils incident to childhood and youth, and with health and vigor arrive at the years of manhood, yet withal we must soon be cut down by the all-devouring scythe of time, and be gathered into the land where our fathers have gone before us. There are many more references to time, high 12, low 12, and calling from labor to refreshment, the return to labor in due season, and the hourglass will occur to all. With the exception of the small paragraph quoted above, however explanatory of the scythe as an emblem of time, there is neither monitorial nor secret explanation of time as a symbol. Yet surely it is used as such when so many references are made to it. Nor can we be content with the thought that, as time is so important to us, it could not entirely be left out in the making of the degrees of the order. What is time? No man knoweth. The very philosophers who explain it confess the inadequacy of their explanations. We know of a past possesses a present and a hope for a future. If the past is dead and gone, it yet influences our present. If the future is only a hope, it is yet the treasure box of all our lives, for which we strive endlessly. The only part of time we have, the immediate now, is always the least important of all. Objects have length, breadth, and thickness. They also have a duration. The instantaneous cube cannot exist. We can have no conception of anything, material or spiritual, which does not have some length of time of existence. Some mathematicians speak of time as the fourth dimension of matter, and Einstein's theories, but the general and special are concerned with a something which is neither space nor time, but a blend or a combination of both. The only measurement of time we know is finite. The revolution of the earth about its axis and about the sun, or any other heavenly body movement in, is our only means of measurement of duration. We can expand it into light years or contract it with split-second watches, but all our measurement is founded upon a purely finite material happening. Infinite time is a phrase, not a concept. The human mind cannot conceive of endless time. We say, as it was in the beginning and ever shall be, but the words contradict themselves, for anything which ever shall be must always have been, and therefore could not have had a beginning. Whether we think of time or a piece of string, we cannot conceive it as having only one end. We conceive ourselves as moving along in time from birth to death over a path which we divide into milestones of years, days, hours, and minutes, all multiples or divisors of that which elapses between sun and sun. Yet the human mind reels at the thought of travel forward which does not have something behind or which does not approach something. If there was no beginning to leave behind, if there was no end toward which we go, are we really traveling through time, or is time a vast wheel merely sweeping around and around us? Men fool themselves. In all ages and times past, men have told themselves fairy tales and believed them. Our remote ancestors watched the fall of a rock and believed in the anger of the stone. They heard in the growl of the thunder and the rage of some mighty hidden being. They saw in the lightning flash which killed the righteous wrath of a power unguessed. But a few hundred years ago, an eclipse of the sun was a portent of evil. A comet in the sky, sure sign of pestilence. The earth was flat, and mariners need beware lest they fall off the edge. What we do not understand, we ascribe to the supernatural. In spite of the experience of science and the teachings of history, a savage mind finds a telephone a miracle. It behooves us to think careful and make up our minds slowly. Every day we find the knowledge of yesterday was not knowledge but fiction. Our atoms are no longer atomic. Our matter is no longer matter. Our space is no longer of three dimensions. Our astronomy is as different today from what it was 20 years ago as that was from Copernicus's day. We no longer lay on hands or prescribe the leech and bloodletting for disease. We no longer withhold water from the fevered or air from the pneumonia patient. Disease is no longer a visitation from on high, but a matter of germs from the earth. The pestilence, which was once the work of Satan, is now located in a drain pipe or a swamp. We have certain concepts today which we believe to be absolute facts, despite the fact that we demonstrate there is no absolute. Only a short while ago, the Philosopher's Stone, the elixir of life and perpetual motion, were demonstrated impossibilities. Now our scientists talk rationally of the possibilities of a transmutation of metals. Our surgeons talk of renewed youth through transferred glands. And for all we know, to the contrary, some man may arise with a new theory of energy, a la Einstein, of space and time, in which the self-mover may actually function. It does not do to be too certain of anything. The open mind is the only one into which new thoughts may come. There is no absolute. The fact of today is the fiction of yesterday. The romance of tomorrow becomes the experience of today. When tomorrow comes, time is the most familiar fact of our lives. Every man carries a watch We get up, eat, work, make love, marry, have children, join Masonic lodges, die, and bury our dead, according to a schedule of time. Yet this very familiar fact, this thing which is as much a part of our lives as our bodies, this commonplace, everyday, utterly usual matter, is the most mysterious, most unknown, most completely unsolved finite mystery about us. Is time, then, in a Freemason's lodge, not a symbol of deity? We believe that the great architect of the universe is part of our daily lives. We thank God for labor. We praise God for love. We marry under the blessing of deity, christen our children with his word, join Masonic lodges erected to God, die in the hope of his immortality, and bury our dead with the sprig of acacia. Its symbol, and yet this familiar fact, this idea which is as much a part of our daily lives as our souls, is our most mysterious, most unknown, most completely unsolvable, infinite mystery. Time, puzzle never solved of man's mind. God, puzzle never solved of man's soul. The conclusion seems inescapable that the many references to time in Freemasonry, the insistence upon time as a factor in the degrees, and in what they teach of life, was no fortuitous circumstance, no mere unwitting bringing of the life of everyday into the ritual of our degrees, but a great symbol of deity and our complete dependence upon him. A symbol teaching that as our lives are inextricably mingled with God, a hope, a faith, but a concept never to be understood in this world. So mote it be. All right, I hope you enjoyed that. Next, I need to take a moment and go ahead and mention our affiliates and our apps. Of course, if you like listening to the show, you can consider buying the podcast application, and we have the app available for Windows 8, Apple, and Android mobile devices. What's different about these apps, rather than, say, listening directly on the iTunes podcast or through Podcaster or Blubbery, any of those services, is that when you pay the $2 for the app, what you're actually getting is access to the papers that we read on the show, and I put together a Masonic wallpaper for every single week released with the episode. So you get a little something fun, you get the paper that we're reading, and you're supporting the show. You can also check out Stitcher Smart Radio. If you have it already, very cool, check us out on Stitcher. If you don't have it, you can download it for free on any of those platforms, Windows 8, Apple, or Android. And when you download it for free, you register, you create an account, and you use the promo code Whence Came You. Registering is also free, I should mention. But when you use that promo code Whence Came You, it lets Stitcher Smart Radio know that you came to them to listen to this show. And as a thanks, they send us $1. It costs you nothing, but you end up supporting the show. If you're into healthy living, check out our links to Onnit via our site on wcypodcast.com. Click through the Onnit ads on the right-hand side. They're two little squares. It says Feed Your Brain. Their flagship product is Alpha Brain. You can buy some of that. Everything is guaranteed. If you don't like the product, doesn't work for you, you don't even have to send it back. You send them an email, and they'll send you your money back. But when you click through, they send us a little portion of the sale to help keep the lights on as usual. Also, because we have an affiliate app, they give me a coupon code for you guys to use, which is WCY. So if you put that in at checkout, you'll get 10% off. Whether you go through our site or not, the prices are all the same. It doesn't cost you any extra to go through our website. So check it out if you have a minute and you want to help support the show and get a little product in return. Lastly, if any of those options are not really your thing, and you do want to help support the show, you can do exactly what Brother Steve Harrison and Brother Bill Hosler have done in the past, and donate a couple dollars to the show via PayPal. There's a small link on the right-hand side. It's not real big, but you can click that, choose what you want to donate, and it goes right to the show. All the money that we make on any of those things I've mentioned all go back into the show. All it's for is to pay the hosting cost of the audio files and to buy equipment in case we need it. But other than that, that's all that money is for. Next is time for our Illinois Masonic Outreach story. All right, now to set the stage a little bit, this is a story of a brother Mason who is 60 years old and has been a member in good standing for over 25 years. Upon his application to our Illinois Masonic Outreach Services, he and his sister were residing in their vehicle in August of 2012 when the heat index was at its worst. They both have extensive medical concerns. He is currently on dialysis, a result of a 2009 end-stage renal failure. This brother also had triple heart bypass surgery in 2012. Here are the events that led to their homelessness The sister was diagnosed with ovarian cancer as a child, and the parents depleted their life savings to provide treatment and care. After their parents passed away a few years ago, the mortgage and taxes on the home could not be maintained and went into foreclosure. They began living in their car due to having no other living family members. At night, they parked in a local grocery store parking lot, and during the heat of the day, they spent time in the local library. The applicant and his sister applied for any and all resources available to them. However, due to their age, they did not meet criteria for many of the local assistance programs. Additionally, they attempted to seek out homeless shelters, but were turned down due to their medical concerns. They were on the waiting list for Section 8 housing, but were told that the program was backlogged approximately 4 years. The brother and sister contacted the local assisted living facility that accepted Medicaid in the past, but were told that the brother was ineligible. His SSDI was approximately $400 per month, and they required at least $608 per month to qualify. The sister did qualify, but refused to leave her brother on the street. This is how the Illinois Masonic Outreach Service assisted. They paid for an extended stay hotel until the Illinois Masonic Outreach Service's director could locate alternate housing. They granted them $200 in gasoline money so the brother could travel to and from his dialysis treatment. They located an assisted living facility that would accept both brother and sister into the facility, paid and continued paying $153 per month to the facility so the brother would meet the minimum financial requirements. They both now have a safe place to live where their needs, both emotional and physical, can be met. Again, this is the Illinois Masonic Outreach Services. Now, every state Grand Lodge has some sort of charity program, and they're doing things just like this all around the United States. It's not just here in Illinois. I happen to be working with the Illinois Masonic Outreach Services, more specifically, the Grand Lodge of Illinois' Charity Committee. And one of the things that Masonry is huge on is charity. Now, of course, like we said last week, many of the things that we do are esoteric teachings, are philosophical teachings. Those are for us. But we also have that duty to take care of our brothers and people in the community. And this is just one story where we've done that. And there are countless other stories, hundreds, probably thousands, where Masonic outreach services in different states and different countries have really helped. But these charities don't operate on the per capita alone. They depend on donations from brothers like you guys, like me. And if you can donate to your Grand Lodge charities, I encourage you to do that. Here in Illinois, we have several Masonic charities. We have the CHIP program, which is the Child Identification Program, and almost every state has that also. We have the Masonic Children's Homes. There are Masonic Retirement Homes. There are tons and tons of different charities to go for. Also in Illinois, we have something called the Society of King Solomon, which is a society that you are entered into when you give extraordinarily, more than $1,000 usually. That particular society is something that I joined. I donated an amount of money. I was given a charter member medal, and it's not like I have that kind of money to give right now. I bequeathed it. I gave it out of my life insurance policy. So I make sure that my family is taken care of, and I'm also helping to take care of the Illinois Grand Lodge charities as well. So give that some thought, and I'm sure you can find some great stories of the Masonic outreach in your state as well. If you have some, send a few stories my way. I might get to read them on the show. Next is this week's Famous Freemason. Now, this post was actually taken from the Freemasonry for Dummies blog, which is Chris Hodapp's blog page, and it was dated on Saturday, March 20th, 2010, and it regards the obituary of actor Fess Parker. The blog reads, "Received this today about the death of actor and Freemason Fess Parker. We lost another very prominent brother today who in real life and his movie TV roles evoked many of the attributes of a just and upright Mason. Brother Fess Parker died peacefully today at the age of 85 after a very successful career in Hollywood, movies like Old Yeller and Them. From 51 to his 70s, he made a fortune in real estate, resorts, and his own award-winning Fess Parker Winery. His most famous role, of course, was as Davy Crockett. I'm sure those of you 55 and older either had a coonskin cap, replica of his rifle, Old Betsy, or a Davy Crockett lunchbox. He later starred in the Daniel Boone TV series. He even sang a version of the title song, The Ballad of Davy Crockett, which got to number 4 on the charts. Enlisting in the United States Marine Corps late in World War II, with hopes of becoming a pilot, his height kept him with other duty. After the war, he was a good athlete at the University of Texas, graduating with a degree in history. The guitar-playing 6'6" gentleman with the southern accent caught the eye of Walt Disney, and the rest was history. Incidentally, Fess Parker was his given name. Some Masonic notes. Brother Parker portrayed Brother Crockett and Brother Boone, co-starring with Brother Buddy Ebsen in a former as his sidekick. He also was in a Western with Brother Gene Autry and in Island in the Sky with Brother John Wayne, the only other actor to portray Brother Crockett in a movie. And of course, Walt Disney and Buddy Ebsen were both senior DeMolays. The source of the article I just read was under some debate, so we don't know quite who actually wrote it. There are several pen names to claim it. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening. Please find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Whence Came You. You can also find the Midnight Freemasons on Instagram at Midnight Freemasons. Midnight Freemasons is also on Facebook and on Twitter as well. And again, the Midnight Freemasons publishes 3 articles every single week that are always new. So it's a tremendous amount of effort to keep that blog with fresh material all the time. Speaking of fresh material, that's what you're going to get very soon. I believe we are starting our first issue of the Midnight Freemasons section in the Working Tools magazine. The magazine started by Brother Corey Sigler almost 6 years ago, which is the largest independently operated Masonic magazine in the United States. So starting in the November issue, you should be able to find the Midnight Freemasons in there. We'll have a little section that Corey Sigler is helping us out with. So if you don't have a subscription to the Working Tools magazine, you can head on over to www.twtmag.com. And you can subscribe right there. They debit your account once a month via PayPal. And I think it's like $7 or something like that. But it really isn't a whole lot of money to ask when you're considering the content you're getting. Very good magazine. It's what we call newsstand quality. I want to take just a second to ask you all to check out our Masonic businesses that are featured on our page. These guys don't pay me anything to advertise them or anything. These are just good brothers, good products, and I want them to get some good business. We have Brother Jeff Koch, who runs PB&J Water, which is water filtration. Serious stuff. He does entire counties. We also have Brother John Paul Gomez up in Canada, and he creates the best Masonic neckwear, hands down. His ties rival quality of, you name how expensive you want a tie, but you can get a great, amazing, limited edition tie from Brother John Paul Gomez. And these are perfect ties. I can't say enough about them. And you can check that out at fraternalties.com. When I say limited edition, that means when he makes a tie, he makes a certain set number of that design. And if that design sells out, you cannot get another one unless you can pry it from the cold, dead hands of another Mason. Nobody's going to get rid of these ties. They are amazing. If you haven't had time to check it out, go ahead and check out the Masonic Bookstore on WCYpodcast.com, which is the website for the show here. And it features books by brothers who have been on the show and brothers who are friends of the show. Books from Todd Creason, Charles Harper, Mike Shirley, Steve Harrison, Rob Lewis, bunch of great guys. And last but not least, keep an eye out for news on the upcoming film by Brother Joseph James and the Joseph James Film Company, The Freemason. I've seen a cut of the movie. It's exceptional. The trailer is wonderful. There is some controversy. Some brothers think that it's going to shed bad light on the fraternity, and I can assure you, I've seen it, and it does not give anything away. When it gets close, it changes it just enough, and it is very entertaining. I think you all will really enjoy yourselves. All right, and that's enough of me for tonight. Take care, everybody. Stay on the level, and for Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.